Thank you. So 30 years ago, I was ordained as a minister of the Word and Sacrament in the Presbyterian Church, USA. Somebody in the early church, in the earliest church, I'm not that old. I see you doing your math though. Somebody in the early service said, 30 years, you mean you've been here at this church for 30 years? I said, it may feel like that, but no, I've been a minister for 30 years. The other thing somebody said, if you look at the pictures on the front, somebody told me, they said, you know, that Batman picture, that may be the only time in your life you have abs. And I am going to somehow find a way to get back at those who chose to put a picture of me trying to do yoga on the front of the bulletin. Morgan saying, it wasn't me. So yeah, I was young once. So 30 years ago, as I think about 30 years, I just want to pause for a moment or two and reflect on 30 years of ministry. And as I think about this journey, I come to a passage in Psalm 18 where it says, God is saying and speaking in Psalm 18 and says, I have set you in a spacious place. For me, this 30-year journey has been a journey of expanding and feeling like I'm set in this spacious place. Faith for me is learning to live with what I don't know and trusting that God knows. Because I think we've turned that around. What I observe is we've turned that around, that we think faith somehow is about being certain about what we think we know. Where for me, if I had to define my faith, it would be this. The more I know, the more I actually discover how little I really know. And I would describe my sense of the divine, my sense of that which is greater than ourselves, as a small pebble in my hand from the beach that I was walking on. What I know, what I experience, what I seem to have come to understand about that which is greater than me is this pebble where God is the beach. Not just this beach, but every single beach on the face of the planet. And here's the deal. The more over this 30-year journey that I have become comfortable with not knowing, the more holy encounters I have with the unknowable. Mystery to me is kind of leaning into. Faith to me, over this 30-year journey is kind of leaning into mystery. If I had to use one word to describe God, it would be more. So faith to me is leaning into mystery. Now, mystery is not the absence of meaning. Mystery is the presence of meaning that I can't possibly comprehend. The other passage that kind of speaks to me as I just stop and mark this 30 years is found in Ephesians 3. Where it says, may you come to know the love that you can't possibly know. It is then that you might be filled with the fullness of God. So it's only appropriate that I quote Mary Oliver on this day, as I quote her a lot, where she says, truly, truly, we live with mysteries too marvelous to understand. I keep my distance from those who think they have the answers. I keep company with those who simply say, look, laugh in astonishment and bow their heads. So questions have been a part of my journey. Curiosity has been an essential part of my faith. So I thought it'd be fun to just take a couple minutes to hear from you, to hear your questions, because I think questions kind of invite us into a deeper, genuine, more authentic faith. Morgan and I, we're going to set up a couch, and we are going to do this Jimmy Fallon thing, but it's not about me, it's about us. So Morgan's going to go out there and be the MC, and if you have questions, she's going to help you to take up those questions and just take a few moments to engage together.
But just to get us warmed up.
Yep.
Just to get us warmed up.
Yep.
Would you tell us why you're a pastor? What are you doing here?
What am I doing here? No, that is the question I wish I had the answer to. Interestingly enough, I entered seminary. God has always been a presence in my life. I don't ever recall a time in my life where I didn't have that sense of that which is greater than me. And I've always been searching to understand that. I entered seminary not to be a pastor. In fact, I was probably the only one in my class. Being a pastor was the furthest thing from my mind, last thing in the world that I wanted to do. But I was on this philosophical quest and search for meaning. So I entered seminary. And when I finished seminary, I was invited to go on an acting troupe across America. I used to be a professional actor. Some people say used to. And I also wanted to see the world, so I was invited to be part of a group called Witness for Peace in Nicaragua, a Presbyterian group. Now, this was the mid-80s, so that was not particularly a safe thing. And one day, I stumbled into this opportunity to go to Australia. Now, I wanted to see the world and to work in this church, but also work in a counseling center that was part of the church, and I had a counseling background. And my mom thought Australia sounded a lot safer than Nicaragua. And Crocodile Dundee just came out. So I was like, cool, I'll go to this place where there are kangaroos hopping down the street. So I said, yes, I'd love to do that. And they said to me, it would be really helpful if you were ordained. Not a requirement, we'll still have you here, but if you are ordained, that would really help us a lot. So I was like, ordained? Really? So then I discovered there's like eight hoops that you got to jump through to be ordained. And this is where the Spirit of the living, I mean, honest to God, as I walked close to every single hoop, they just fell away, fell away, fell away. So I thought, wow, this is supposed to happen. So real quickly, my ordination is I appeared before presbytery. This was 1 week before I was to leave for Australia. And because I was going to Australia, they said, if we accept your faith statement that you have to read in front of everybody, we'll ordain you at lunch. So I said to my family, I said, wow, you know, I may be ordained, but if they say no, we'll just have lunch together. And you might be a little surprised, my theology back then was a little unorthodox. And in fact, the committee suggested I tone it down a little bit to be more acceptable. And I was young, naive, and arrogant, and I said, there's no way I'm toning my down, you know. So I was on the floor of presbytery for 90 minutes, answering their questions. And one elderly gentleman said, I don't agree with one thing you've said, but you know, this was the most dynamic conversation we've had in this presbytery for 35 years. So I vote yes. So I was ordained at lunch, and lo and behold, I found myself in Australia. And honestly, I get up every day and wonder, what am I doing here? Where is God seeking to place me? Yeah.
Who else has questions? And while Stephen's answering, I can go around and collect them. So if you guys have a question, just raise your hand or not. I have some prepared. All right.
Why is Dr. Seuss your favorite theologian?
Why is Dr. Seuss your favorite theologian?
And Dr. Seuss is my favorite theologian. I think because I define God, as I said earlier, as something more. And there's something, I mean, Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you cannot see the complexities and the depth and the richness of all that there is in God. So I find a children's book like Dr. Seuss, who said, you know, from A to Z, everybody knows Z is as far as the alphabet goes. Then he almost fell flat on his face on the floor as I took up the chalk and drew one letter more. A letter you've never dreamed of before. So in the places I go and the people I see, I couldn't survive if I stopped at Z. So on beyond zebra, it's high time you were shown that maybe, just maybe, you don't know all there is to be known. Doesn't get any better theology than that, from my perspective. And I've read a lot of theology, but that kind of, to me, built into the absolute complexity of creation is this incredible mystery that beyond the night, there is always morning. Beyond the winter, there is always spring. Beyond death, there is life. I can't write an essay about that. So I turn to the wonders of somebody writing a children's story that might invite us into the wonder of all that. Yeah. Great question, though.
You ready?
The other great one you should look up is The Zode, Z-O-A-D. Another great theological book by Dr. Seuss.
Awesome. Yeah.
What do you want to accomplish in the future, and what do you want to accomplish with us?
A great question. Somebody asked in the early service, I've written about 6 faith statements. I've served 4 churches. This is my 4th church. 2 in Australia, 2 here. Each time you have to write a faith statement. So 12 years ago, I wrote a faith statement to come here. I guarantee you that if I wrote it another one today, it would be radically different. And it would probably be one line, one word, love. It's all about love. If we fail at love, we fail at everything. And I guess what I'd want us to continue to understand is how we get the things that are most important. Love is always at the mercy of the things that are least important. We as a church, we can get so caught up in the things that are least important that we lose sight of what is most important. Pentecost is the day of the Spirit. The Spirit is, as Everest said so beautifully, the Spirit, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the presence of that Spirit helps me to bring healing to the brokenhearted. Consumption, competitiveness, conflict, we've tried all of that. It's time to try healing, and it's time to try love. As Bishop Curry said at that wedding, that if we could just harness love, we would have discovered fire for the second time. So what I would hope for us is that we continue to allow ourselves to be transformed by the presence of love, that we might somehow be the presence of that love and that healing and that hope in the world. Yeah. Thank you.
We're curious what spiritual experiences you've had in your life.
Yeah, looking at the time. Looking at the time, I mean, to me, probably the most transformational spiritual practice that I have moved towards is centering prayer, where I spend time every day, 20 minutes every day, just simply resting in the presence of God. And that's transformed my life. I remember when I held the hand of a 5-year-old who took his last breath. Everything I believed, all the dogma, the theology, went out the window. But in that moment, I experienced the presence of love in a way that I had never experienced it ever in my life. When my dad died, 2 days before he died, he had Alzheimer's. I'm kneeling down next to his wheelchair where we're looking out the window in northern Minnesota at the trees. I'm trying to hold back my tears because my dad had no idea who I was. And a deer came out of the woods, stopped 5 feet before the window, and stayed there for 10 minutes and stared. And much to my surprise, I felt peace. And I knew my dad would be okay. And when he died, and I was gifted with the opportunity to actually hold him as he took his last breath, and finally, when I went out to the car at 3 o'clock in the morning in the parking lot, I let go because I had to do all of the things to call to do all the preparations. And so I was kind of holding myself together. When I sat in the car before I started to go back to where I was staying, I just began to sob and weep. And a deer came out of the woods, stopped to 5 feet before my car, and stood there for 5 minutes. That's why I read Dr. Seuss. That's more. 4 weeks later, I was asked to scatter the ashes on the Matolius River, and it was too close to my dad's death, and I was driving, and I was like, oh God, please help me be a presence and not get my own stuff in the way. And I was crying. And I turned from the paved road to the dirt road to find the spot where we were to gather. And there was a deer standing in the middle of the road, refusing to move until I calmed. And I can give you about 8 more examples of that. The more I know, the more I don't know. But what I know is there is more. And it's 10:30. So please,
hold your horses.
Send me an email.
Hold your horses.
Let's have coffee.
We heard
yeah.
That your favorite thing in the world was German chocolate cake.
It is.
And so we have a cupcake not only here.
That's why I'll never have abs.
I wasn't going to say anything about that. But there's also some to share in the comments following the service. And I think Joan had something she wanted to say. Anniversary.
My parting thought, the beautiful thing is why I came here today is because it's not about me. It's about us. And I include Everest and Grace in that as well. It's about us. So we'll continue to worship God as the offering is received.